This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, the 29th of June, the year is 2009. A special two-hour broadcast because of the importance of this subject. And I believe that of all the years, in all the years that I've been on talk radio, this is the timing. I don't know how. I mean, it all works out the way it does, but I know this, that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And with me tonight is Russ Dizar of the ShatterTheDarkness.net, and Russ and I are going to talk about some stuff that's absolutely critical. I would encourage you, this show will be put up on my website. Russ will obviously put it up on his website, but you need to start focusing in on this stuff, because to say all hell is going to break loose is an understatement. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Steve. Great to be back with you.
Well, listen, I got to thank you, my brother, and I got to tell you, for all the years that you've been out there doing what you're doing and what I've been doing, and just through our mutual friend Sue Bradley, God bless her, the thing is that this is the time to bring those who have been warned about everything and everything to the point of understanding what's going to happen. In the first part of the show, I'd like you to address the abyss, and the reason why, Russ, is because it's a real... The Transformers movie is out, and I'm not going to talk about a movie review, but it's no secret that Hollywood is obviously inculcated with the occult and the very dark forces of hell. So would you just go into that a little bit, because you have a series, The Abyss, Part 1, Where, What, Why, and When, and I don't think people understand the importance that plays in end-time prophecy.
Sure, yeah, The Abyss is a big issue. I think it's... One of the things, Steve, is that it's already out there. It's been out there for some time. We can go back 2,000 years to where Jesus is dealing with, well, we can call it extra-dimensional, the demonic side. And in that encounter, this demonic presence, they didn't want to go to the abyss. And so we have a little bit of information biblically on it, but it's primarily a place of containment. It may be where some believe Nephilim spirits are at, others just a horde of the demonic on that side that has been contained for, you know, millennia. And it is prophesied that that door, the gateway to the abyss, will somehow, some way, the rights to open it or the authority to open it will be given. And when that is opened, and here's what I think is significant, because I think it's going to make a big impact if it's really communicated well to the UFO community, because when I look at this in the original two, and it's very well played out in some of the translations, when it is opened, of course, it's a global event. From the time of the Great Revolt and the rise of the Antichrist, eventually there's going to be this opening. Everything from that point is global, and this is an event it's not just the chaos issue here. This is cataclysmic. This is global impact. It is worldwide. When this place is opened, it will make it will actually physically be sealable. It will be like Mount St. Helens 10-15 times over as far as what will happen. But when it does open, and the biblical picture is this ferocious imagery that we get, when that dimensional, and I believe it's dimensional, I believe when it's opened up, then the hordes of that side, it will no longer be invisible. This will be where they are seeable physically. They will come, and literally it says, come down upon the earth and for 5 months make a massive attack on humanity. It is going to be, it will bring just torment. I mean, if we want to know the nature of the dark side, it's depicted in this coming event.
You are aware, Russ, that and the reason I'm bringing up the Transformer movie, okay, is the fact that the parallels, I mean, for anyone that doubts that Hollywood has a supernatural agenda, supernatural meaning preternatural, not of a human origin, and I'm not talking about studios and stuff, but I'm talking about the overriding spirit behind it. The whole thing basically starts to unfold around the Laurentian Trench. Now, is it interesting to you that there are 11 deep sea trenches that are always referred to as the abyss, and some of them are literally, you know, like the Mindanao Trench, the Laurentian Trench, the Puerto Rican Trench, etc. But the fact is that there are 11 of them. Does that kind of get your curiosity a little bit?
Well, it does. It really does, because, you know, when I did a search on it, you know, just taking a look at the concept of location, where this place would be, and another thing would be, my interest right now is, would remote viewers be looking for it? Is U.S. military going to look for it? If they understand it as a real event that will occur, I wonder if there's ever been a real search.
I can tell you yes. I can tell you absolutely yes without a shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, for instance, that do you remember before George Bush left office, one of the things he did was put the whole area around the Mariana Trench off limits?
Off limits, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you know that. And please, I'm not. This is so important that people understand this, ladies and gentlemen. What Russ is laying out to you is a pivotal point in your understanding. What is interesting, just so you know, again, Jesus said, "If I've told you heaven or earthly things, you believe me not. How can I tell you heavenly things?" But I can tell you this: that at even this point. And this will be hard for some people to grasp, but a certain group of, if you will, gatekeepers has been keeping those abyss to the degree they're sealed. But the time is that they're told to back off by the living God and basically allow it to come forth. And I can tell you of multi-dimensional shifts taking place around those abysses. I can tell you that point blank from eyewitness, majestic, level 28, you know, generals. I can tell you that stuff really exists.
Absolutely. And because there's, you know, this constant engagement of that side with ours and, the connection of, again, looking for the human basis to get the rights. Even Judas, when Satan entered him, there was because his heart and his life had a platform. So that side works by laws of engagement. But the laws of engagement will have broken open so wide, so vast, when this great revolt occurs, when the rise of the Antichrist comes. Steve, it's the most unprecedented manifestation of satanic presence, both felt in levels of power, in global, what New Agers are called, a planetary spiritual wave. What I think they're detecting is what is coming, but not what they think. Just literally waves of satanic presence and power that has been waiting to burst over to influence. It's the only reason globalism's coming, but in the context of all of that, since this doorway, this gateway's opened, the interaction now is going to be horrific, and there's going to be a global attack. You know, when we look at the biblical revelation on it, it involves torture, it involves pain, it involves enormous fear. It's an incredible event, and then sometimes, you know, I think we need to ask, you know, when it says that there a key is given to open it, we understand that to be the rights or the authority. Somewhere the rights and the authority will be unleashed, and the issue is that a cooperation thing with humanity? For example, the fall of the human race. There could be no fall in the entrance of the satanic presence without the avenue of humanity. So even the rise of Antichrist in the days that are coming, people sometimes say, Steve, to me, they'll say, well, why is God letting this happen? God's not letting it happen. It's that man has opened wide it, where there's a rejection of the presence and spirit of God and the protection that's needed, the doorway of that prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere around, that living, some call it the global brain or that living consciousness. Well, that's a real presence that is global, and it is, you know, well, we've experienced the incremental approach for years. Now the thunderous level of, well, a corresponding degree to the degree that the demonic is manifesting, we'll find a corresponding degree of, well, we can consider it natural things, tectonic plates moving, earthquakes occurring. It all occurs together. But I believe, Steve, that it involves the natural things that occur that are disasters and catastrophic is because of this behind-the-scenes spiritual clash that is breaking out and getting very close to, well, when we come to the abyss, there's going to be no mistaking it by then.
Right. You know, Sue Bradley is doing an investigative piece. She's going to, and whenever it's released, but Anna Krakatau is the, you know, little brother of Krakatoa that went off in 1883. But Anna comes from the word, as you know, Anakim, okay? And the fascinating thing about this is that even the South Sea Islanders always knew that there was a relationship to that and the gateway to hell. Then some of the scientists, Russ, said, that we've been in contact with through third parties, both Sue and I, individually and separate, basically we're talking about when CERN went online before it was stopped by the people that were told to stop it by the living God until the time of the release. I'll let the listeners go into their imagination on that one. The thing is that CERN has been called the master key to releasing all the gates and to the release of all the abysses. Your comments on CERN, because you know it has been interrupted, but the destroyer, the goddess Shiva of Hindu mythology, is there, if you will, patron demoness of the whole underworld. And they even quote Oppenheimer, where he basically is quoting, I think, the Mahabharata, where he says that he has become the destroyer of worlds. What's your take on CERN, and do you see the linkage, or could there be a linkage, in your mind?
Well, I do, I did another separate hour just on that subject, and the weird or providential thing about it, Steve, was that in some of the radio listeners and so forth that I got in contact with, and I went to do a seminar, and one of the fellows that wanted to meet up with me it was a guy that came. He worked on CERN. He came from there, and I asked him a lot about, you know, the you know, and he was not sure, but my mentality is that all the way back to the 30s, when Alice Bailey wrote a book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. In it, she describes, guided by this ascended master, what we would call a cosmocrator, or again, a demonic entity, a powerful one, outlining the procedures of that incremental development of the New Age, which includes opening vast doors and learning how to break through science and spirit connecting technology. Well, there's predictions by the demonic side that they would lead humanity to eventually break the veil between the physical and spiritual in science and technology, or by science and technology. So I think it is something that we need to take a look at, something that should be prayed about, considered, because CERN may have or could be that combination. It becomes the key that does open the door. Steve, I believe that over the last 30, 40, 50 years, when scientists are and mill lab scientists are working on weaponry, and we now have the DOD and others, well, there's a book that just came out on planetary defense weapons. All of those things that are being worked on over the last 30, 40, 50 years, maybe even from back in the, you know, with the Nazis on, where there's this combination where scientists wake up in the middle of the night and they get ideas or they see something in their head and they begin to work on a project or inspiration comes. And I simply have said this over the years. Somebody's breathing down the neck of the scientists. Ideas are popping in their head. They're getting insight into developing technology. And here's my premise that will help open gateways, open doorways, and some of it will be used in the planetary defense weapons, Revelation 19:19, when another doorway opens and the Son of God returns, Antichrist and the world's largest military system, aiming their weapons not at each other, but into the sky. So when we look in future prophecy and see what actually is occurring, we need to back up and say, how do we get there? Same with the abyss. How do we get there? How could it be that this is eventually opened? It is true in biblical revelation that no demonic presence, no satanic presence, no evil ever entered the human race on the global scale, on the origins, or on any sense without humanity opening their hearts to it.
Absolutely.
And doing it.
Isn't that the basis true of biblical authority? Because in the second half of the show, Russ, I want you to teach the listeners what to do to combat this stuff, because you teach seminars, obviously. You've got, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of you should be going and downloading everything on Russ's site, shatterthedarkness.net, because he's got fabulous teachings. But the thing is I want you to absolutely lay it out. There's never been anything like it, and it's a question of authority. Actually, you and I spoke about it in our first, it's the exousia, or exousia, for those of you, the Greek scholars out there, and then it's dunamis, the dynamite. It's interesting that CERN and all of the relativistic heavy ion colliders, all the technology, Russ, you brought up the most quintessential point that's ever been stated, in my opinion, and this is by inspiration. By the way, you know the word inspiration means to literally be breathed upon by a spirit, either the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit. But the point is everything is getting set to make war against God. Now see, to me that's folly. He who speaks the world into existence and says, let there be light, it's not like he has to dodge lasers by the New World Order. But yet Satan has so, in his fury and rebellion, pride and arrogance, and hatred for humanity, he's enlisted humanity, the apple of God's eye, through redemption, to make war on the King of Glory. Is that accurate?
I believe it's totally accurate, and I think that, Steve, that a lot of biblical scholars and theologians, and you know, you've read a lot, we've read a lot here, and I've not seen in well 30 years, I can look over and see 2,000 theology books. I've not found one that touches on the concept of, well, Revelation 19:19 and that kind of end game. And here's what again, those really deeply oriented biblically and those who are New Agers should really, I would pray that God would bring a shock to their system over this issue. This will be, Revelation 19:19 will be the fulfillment, number one, it's the fulfillment of Psalm 2. It's really detailed, and this is the fascinating thing, beyond Edgar Cayce, beyond Nostradamus, when God gives prophetic, you know, of concerning the future, it's all the contingencies, everything's already been dealt with. We're dealing now with what God says will actually occur. So in Psalm 2, nations, peoples in mass, and then the kings representing political military leaders, they are conspiring together. Even the Hebrew there would suggest the idea of rage. But what are they conspiring? What is the globalism? What's it all about? They're doing it against the Lord. Now this is 3,000 years ago this is written. Against the Lord and His anointed. We're talking about the Messiah now. Now, they're gathering together. Same premise, Revelation 16, when the spirits are sent out to gather them together. We see the fulfillment of it, Revelation 19. They are gathered together in the most incredible, and again, I would say, what is going to come in the future? Could be, you know, that event could be, you know, 10 years away. I don't know. Because it comes at the very end, and it comes when, and the two significant things, Steve, on Revelation 19. Not only is it the incredible picture of Jesus returning in power and glory as prophets and apostles and even angels that helped Daniel showed what happened. Even Jesus said it would occur. Now, the amazing thing to me is the Antichrist, the army, the super soldier, this most powerful, supernaturally charged globalist military gathers in that region to the very spot where Jesus is supposed to, you know, return. How did they know? How did they know to be there on that day, on that timing? There's something about, even in Revelation 12, the first time Jesus came, the dragon, the ancient serpent, was waiting to devour the child. I give a presumption of three times. In the heavenlies, when Jesus came the first time, and what's yet to come in Revelation 19, three attempts. This is what is shocking. Attempts for the annihilation of the infinite God. And this is what super soldiers, military leaders, political leaders around the world, and globalists and New Agers are being drawn into. The ultimate drawing into is not that they're going to have an evolution to human consciousness and become deities themselves. It's not going to happen. It never has. The finite cannot become infinite. The issue is they are being dragged along like Judas. They're going to be used like Judas. They're going to be brought out on the field as the fodder, the in-between, the greatest collection of humanity and demonic force will be applied at the third attempt, Stephen, annihilating God for the insatiable, you know, lust that the ancient fallen cherub has had to become God. And this is for some people, it's like, well, this is kind of crazy talk, or even some that have been in church for a long time saying, well, I've never... Well, listen, we need to look at biblical prophecy, see the real impact, but then begin to say, how do we get there? How does this occur? What is happening now that lends itself towards that? So, is CERN and the entire development of CERN with its spiritual background, which all lends itself to dark fallen spirits, did they get inspiration from the dark side to build this? Was there cooperation that will eventually, you know, lead to the time when it's whatever occurs, if that's part of the process, bottom line is, in actuality, biblical actuality, it will open, and humanity will be just stunned.
You know, one thing that I don't think people understand, the field, and I'm not going to get into sequential quantum physics here, but just an interesting thing. The lake of fire, you know, the modern physics, you could define it as a plasma. And the only way a superheated, if you would, gas can be maintained on that temperature is with a magnetic field. Isn't it interesting, Russ, that maybe the devil has promised his people that he's going to overcome God's ability to keep the lake of fire contained? I've never said that before in my life. But as you're speaking, it's dawning on me, no pun intended, that obviously the amount of magnetism, the sheer amount of energy being put into this, they are simply in a realm of supernatural spiritual dynamics. And I'm not talking about New Age blabber. I'm talking about the basis of creation from a pure light and sound and energy building blocks. But isn't it fascinating, because the Bible even teaches that the soul of the wicked goeth down, but the soul of the righteous goeth up. So there's something different about the magnetism, if you will, or the ability of a magnetic field to contain, quote unquote, the spirit of the righteous versus the spirit of the unrighteous. Have you ever thought of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely hitting on a mark that I have I'm literally just bursting to get out and communicate is this fact. I believe that probably the one that knows prophecy outside of God, the one that knows prophecy the best would be the fallen cherub himself. The reason I would say that is because, again, his ability to quote scripture to Jesus in Matthew 4, I believe he knows God's agenda book, playbook, thoroughly. But here's what I see. He knows that if anybody knows prophetic, you know, God's prophetic, you know, revelation gets fulfilled every single time, it's him. He's constantly trying to preempt it. If not preempt it, for example, again, when Jesus came, he was already there. Revelation 12 shows us the dragon's there already waiting for the Christ child for one reason, devour it. So there's already this idea of preemption. He knows and he's doing everything in his calculations to stop everything. And the more I kept looking at this principle, that he's either going to try to destroy, like Israel, destroy the recipients of prophecy, so that maybe prophecy can't be fulfilled.
Right.
So there's this constant thing from the dark side, and that's why that critical mass of hatred of Israel, betrayal of Israel is coming, because this insatiable desire. In other words, if we like looked into the mind of Satan, is he thinking this? If I can just annihilate Israel and get to the temple first, you know, it will stop Jesus from ever coming there, returning, setting up the millennium, and getting down to the grave. I agree with you. What I'm saying is I agree with you on this. The lake of fire is clearly known. That final judgment and containment of evil is clearly known by the demonic. We've seen it in biblical revelation 2,000 years ago. They know judgment is coming. They know that date. When I've dealt with deliverances over the year, hundreds and hundreds of them, listening to the dark side, listening to those voices, they know there is an ultimate judgment. So my question is this. When we look at biblical revelation, do we see that the motivation for what Satan is doing, even the arrival of the Antichrist, the motivation for what he's doing to either stop the first coming of Christ, stop the second coming of Christ, is the motivation based on if he can stop any of that, stop all of that, he can stop the coming final great white throne and the judgment?
Well, and I think that that's the thing, because ladies and gentlemen, if you notice this, that Jesus had to flee even the place of his birth and go into the wilderness in Egypt. Obviously the gold, frankincense, and myrrh being provided, that's what Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived on in those days of exile. But Russ, even going into that thing that he's trying to get mankind to cooperate in their own destruction. People say, well, we would worship the chains that ensnare us. I don't. I say people will absolutely worship he who will condemn them to an eternal separation, a total hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the worm dieth not. And yet, you and I both know that the mainstream, quote, presentation of evangelical Christianity very seldom will touch on hell because they're worried they're going to offend someone.
Exactly. And the concern, I mean, the Spirit of God is in the world right now since Pentecost on in an amazing way to convict or convince the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. There is a communication in the drawing of the lost to Christ. There's a communication. I can remember it with me the night that I was so convicted and convinced not only that I was separate from God and that my life was junk and horrid in comparison to Christ, but the concept of the only one righteous was him. I knew I wasn't, but the concept of judgment. Why water down what God does not water down? When we explain the fact that this kind of, you know, the truth is, and even the listeners need to hear, there is the very possible, you know, the likelihood that some can lose their soul, their whole being forever, being shut out from God, losing themselves forever with no second chance. Because if they reject the revelation of God in Christ now, they're not going to get him later.
And that's what's absolutely missing. Because again, the same Hollywood that will build up an idol and clap their hands at his funeral or commit suicide along with him. I'm speaking obviously of Michael Jackson. Yet, you know, I wondered in that whole fiasco that played out, I wonder how many times he was presented, or if he was presented, I believe he had to have been presented, with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I know this. I know that a person I know talked to Prince, you know, in the elevator once at a Minneapolis hotel and literally witnessed to him about his need for Jesus. And basically all Prince could say is, you know how much money I have? And the guy literally said to him, Russ, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? This is playing out. The scripture is playing out right before our very eyes. Now let's get back to the abyss because, okay, let's look at Hollywood from the standpoint. Hollywood is the wood, as you know, that basically witches use to bewitch or cast their spells, correct?
Correct.
The holly tree. The idea is that we had the movie The Abyss by James Cameron. That was the aliens that lurked in the abyss that ultimately came to save us from ourselves, okay? Now we've got the Transformers, the good and the evil robots. The good robot being resurrected, the bad robot coming from his imprisonment in the abyss. The thing is that it just seems like absolutely this is playing out for us, but the idea of literally, and you brought it up, the second psalm, the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, we will not have this, what, man rule over us, correct?
Correct.
And so it's a war, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take a break, Russ, for 3 minutes, and then, again, at the top of the hour, we'll take our break for station identification, and then in the second hour, Russ, I would like, if you would be so kind, to teach the audience the things that you have learned in spiritual warfare, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest, Russ Adizar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. In my opinion, the most important website that you should download right now because you're going to deal with this stuff in a very, very short period. We'll be right back.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the Internet at RealityRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, Steve from Renaissance Precious Metals. For the first time in history, gold and silver, platinum, are carrying a 50% premium over the official spot price. I was the only talk show host several years ago to declare that the day would come when the spot price would not relate to the physical acquisition price of metals at all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that day is here now. With the demand for gold and silver soaring worldwide, I would suggest you acquire anything that you can as fast as you can. Remember, you are acquiring precious metals for capital protection as well as barter when the whole economy blows up. Delivery is as important as price. If metals are unavailable at a 50% premium over spot now, how can anyone suggest that they will be available in the future for less? COMEX gold and silver are paper products and won't buy you anything when the markets close, and close they will. Call us at 406-586-4840. That's 406-586-4840, as we currently have gold and silver and platinum for immediate delivery. But I doubt availability will last much longer.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Wars and rumors of wars. Famine and pestilence. Earthquakes and floods around the world. Global financial crisis. What does it all mean? Find out in a startling new book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, by best-selling author L.A. Marzulli. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is a hard-hitting exposé of current events and how they may relate to ancient biblical prophecies. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural explains the growing potential for nuclear war in the Middle East, the Great Deception, the so-called alien agenda, and groundbreaking new information on the return of the Nephilim and the UFO connection. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is available exclusively at lamarzulli.net. Plus, if you order now, you'll receive L.A. Marzulli's new e-book, The Alien Interviews, absolutely free. Don't wait. Get both of these groundbreaking books today for only $10 plus shipping and handling. Log on to lamarzulli.net.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Q-Files. It's the 29th of June, year is 2009. My very special guest, Russ Dizar. Russ, on the abyss, before we I take you away from that, it's obvious that there is so much activity in the world of volcanism, earthquakes, etc. It's also obvious, and you have a whole MP3 series, I believe you do, on basically the U.S. military and the occult infiltration of them, do you not?
Sure, we do, yes.
And is it not conceivable that based on all of the black budget, their word, not mine, all the mega dollars going into this, that even if they're able to generate, which they already have, according to Secretary of Defense Cohen and others, seismic weapons, etc., then in their, if you will, desire for the ultimate weapon, they basically don't realize what they're turning loose on themselves. You brought up the New Age, and I'm getting all these New Agers sending me emails. Oh, isn't it wonderful? It's coming down. I'm telling some of them, I email them back, I'm saying, you think you're going to go out to lunch with an alien, or you're going to sit down and talk? I said, you're going to be eaten in the worst case or best case scenario and pulled apart in the worst, and I'm not kidding when I say that. Where is the military in your research at now? Because, again, obviously the 1st Earth Battalion, that was the beginning of it, or maybe even before them. But everything that I know is that you have a very, and to use the word dark, I mean the ultimate Egyptian priest flying around in spacecraft or starcraft that most people don't even know exists. And yet these men and women are some of the world's most leading occultists. I mean, and yet, you know, in uniform, people say, oh, that God bless our military. Well, they're wrong in that realm.
Right, and I do. And I believe on the one hand, you know, there's the military, like it's like police officers when I was a police chaplain. There's really good guys, there's bad guys. It happens everywhere. But when it comes to U.S. military, and there is a great big history of occultism in military science, military development of weapons, engagement in war. We can go all the way back to the Old Testament when a pagan king was battling Israel and losing, and so he took his son, sacrificed him on the wall to his demon god. The powers enabled them then to beat Israel. There's what I've called now the weaponization of satanic powers. Again, biblical prophecy will show us this in Revelation 16. I believe that this has occurred with the Nazis, and it has occurred in a broader sense. We know that we're only talking a tip of the iceberg when we say that super soldiers have been developed, and I've engaged a number of them. It is horrific. It is unbelievable what they are capable of. It is unbelievable what they have been transmuted to be. And, Steve, the other side of it is the development of the weaponry. I believe this, and here's where people can question it, think through it. I believe U.S. military has been so infiltrated that coming close, you know, or to the time of the great chaos that will break out, even when there's an attempt to help, there's going to be massive sabotage within. That's why there will be an ultimate collapse. The concept of super soldiers, the development of super tech weapons, I have a book in front of me called An Introduction to Planetary Defense Weapons. Four individuals, Defense Department individuals from NASA, all these incredible globally recognized weapons builders, defense workers, laying out the plans now to where, what if the world as a whole was attacked from the outside? What kind of weapons, a particle beam, weapons do we need? What kind of laser or chemical lasers do we need to be able to shoot these weapons into the sky, to blast out of the sky anything? They go through scenarios, everything else. Here's my contention. What they're dealing with is again, the inspiration for this is similar to the inspiration of the writings of Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and David Spangler and so on. The inspiration is from the other side because it's needed for the future. If you look at Revelation 19:19, it is without question a small glimpse of the world's largest, most empowered, and again, because of Revelation 16, the most supernaturally guided, mounted, infused, animated military system in human history. And they will gather in the Middle East. They will gather in the very place that is designated the physical return point for the living Christ. And the weaponry is needed to be not fighting man against man at this point. It is, again, the weapons that will be aimed into the sky, and there will be that third attempt. New Agers will be the most betrayed people. Their belief in divine love, divine light, presence, energy, an evolution to human consciousness. If they're listening to this and they're believing in the stronger, I mean, what I'm saying, stronger teaching than ever is coming out of the New Age movement. And of course, there's probably 200 million followers, you know, between Europe and the United States. They're believing in the concept of planetary spiritual waves that will occur that will jolt humanity to a new level of consciousness. And I agree with them, but it's the wrong kind. And it's of a, if they don't understand that the dark side can masquerade, they are the originators and masters of masquerading and presenting themselves as angels of light, divine, you know, all this light that they're talking about. But it's going to be like the Judas principle. There's going to be a using. They're being used now to help open doorways and gateways and communicate the Dake of demons, teachings that come from that. But in the evolution of the New Age movement and their belief in this coming wave, which includes 2012ers, includes them saying, well, there's got to be a great catastrophe to lower the level of humanity. It's all going to be a good thing. The bloodshed, it's all going to be a good thing because the planet needs this cleansing and reduction of population. But what they don't understand, again, is what they're grasping is, and again, they don't need to run from this, it is the core Luciferian teaching that occurred in Genesis 3. The promise of no matter how powerful he is, he's finite. He's a being that's promised humanity, hey, chuck God, take the alternative spirituality that I'm offering. It's elitist. It's secretive. It's something you can take a hold of and evolve and become like God. The idea of an evolution to deity. Here's where a lot of those out there who are even the physicists need to do the math. The finite cannot evolve and become infinite. There is no beginning point for infinite. There is no ending point for infinite. We've already lost that battle. We are not infinite beings, nor is the fallen cherub. And so there will be, from the moment the fallen cherub offered it in the beginning, offered it within pantheism and Hindu belief systems, offered it in the Buddhistic tradition, offered it among the Gnostics 2,000 years ago, the belief is, oh, we will continue to go through spiritual layer and layer, ascension, whatever it may be, and we will reach godhood. It has never happened in the past, and it will not happen in the future.
Interestingly enough, 1st Enoch 22 says this, "And thence I went to another place, the mountain of hard rock, and there was in it four hollow places, deep and wide and very smooth. How smooth are the hollow places, and deep and dark to look at." This is from Sue sending it to me. The key, if you look at the CERN tunnels, is like an upside down key. But the point is that they're trying their best to not only make war against the King of Glory, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to wipe out humanity. Russ, when Jesus said, I think people really don't ponder the words of Jesus very well, because he said, if God did not intervene, there would be no flesh left alive, getting back to the fact that if that were the case, then God would be proven to be a liar. So isn't it fascinating? The king of liars, the prince of hell, prince of power of the air, the head guy, and as you rightly said, the fallen cherub, he's not an angel. Lucifer, Satan, is a fallen cherub, able to transform himself into an angel of light. Boy, the New Age bought into that big time. The point is that it's absolutely in our face now that the destruction, you turn to the left, nuclear war, turn to the right, biological war, the desire to mass vaccinate people, the chemtrail spraying, everything that we've been talking about points to this. The devil hates mankind and wants people dead. And the only answer, in my opinion, is the revelation that God is giving to you and you're sharing with the listeners. And then how to fight this and how to stand in the power of the Lord's might. Because again, you know, I hear from all the tough guys. I hear from guys that got muscles bigger than their waist. I hear from guys that, you know, would make Wyatt Earp and Annie Oakley probably bashful by their shooting prowess. But again, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the worst case scenario that's ever been seen on earth, that Jesus said there would never be a time like it again. And do you find it difficult, Russ, to even try and communicate that to what I call the happy, happy, joy, joy crowd?
Yeah, and been told over the years by some of that crowd, you know, why do you focus on that part of it? I was a pastor 30 years before I left to go do what I'm doing now, just a couple of years ago. And I've done this alongside of being a pastor for some 25 years or more. So, you know, I know within the body of Christ as a whole, here's what I believe. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail or withstand, I believe, the onslaught of the church. Now, this is the issue. We're birthed in warfare. We are the body of Christ is like planted in foreign, hostile territory. By the time you get to Acts chapter 5, even after Pentecost, there is the fallen cherub entering into Ananias and Sapphira, coming to bring corruption to the church. The church is the most attacked, entity or organism on the face of the earth. It is the only thing that contests Satan's uncontested rule. There is nothing else that contests. Everything else lends to it. There is only one entity where there is hostility, and where you find really the living Christ dwelling in human beings who have turned to believe in Jesus, receive Christ, his presence, his power, his authority. They have become the hated objects of the dark side. That's why Scripture speaks about the need to know the armor of God, the authority of God, being alert, living in action, understanding Ephesians 6, where it says that our struggle, our battle, our fight is not against human flesh and blood. Principalities, powers, these are ancient beings that outside of God, outside of Christ, they have in the past. Study the Mayans. Study every ziggurat where the Nephilim were connected, and look at the transmutation or annihilation of humanity. Even back to Genesis 6 and the whole concept of Nephilim in transmuting humanity. Isn't it interesting that when we come to the Gospels, we find the genealogy of Jesus bypassing all Nephilim tribes and those horrific demonized or even generational Nephilim tribes, and linking back to Adam it's literally a proclamation that he is fully, totally God in human flesh, unmixed with the hybrid concept.
Right, and that's why, you know, I've gotten this as a years and years of teaching Genesis 6. Well, why did God, if he's a loving God, tell the children of Israel to destroy every man, woman, and child? Because they weren't human beings as you and I know human beings.
Correct.
And see, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing to me how God is always brought into the court of fallen man's judgment, and yet we fail to acknowledge the King of the earth, the Creator of the earth, He who speaks the worlds into existence by the sheer word of His power and the glory of His majesty, and yet people basically want to contend with God. Why did you do this? And the answer is that the same thing. And now, Russ, you know, I know, and we've been preaching our hearts out for a lot of decades, not just years, that the genetic manipulation, the genetic investigation, the Human Genome Project. I can tell people this, there's nothing human about the Human Genome Project. It is all, if you will, pretahuman. They are looking for the bloodlines. And you brought up the Aztecs, the Incans, and the Mayans. First of all, never were there a bloodier group of people that I know from the sheer volume of humans sacrificed. It's my contention that there were obviously, and I think if you know who Quetzalcoatl is, and sure, obviously Viracocha, the thing is that the giants from the east built those civilizations. But it's fascinating the place of human sacrifice, because we get right back to Joshua and Caleb going to the promised land. The land, they were as grasshoppers in their eyes, and so they were in the sight of the giants, and the land devoured its inhabitants. It was cannibalism was first taught to mankind by the fallen ones. And I think that's what's so tragic is, you know, again, people think this is going to be some kind of a party and a dinner with aliens, and they're going to be basically served up on the platter. And to even show Hollywood's getting that, isn't it interesting? They're bringing back the series or the movie V, and that whole thing is about, you know, reptilian angels that are reptilian aliens that basically eat humans and breed with humans to breed them out of existence. And I think that's what people are missing. They do not understand that the devil is full-scale press right now, so much so that doesn't the book of Revelation say, prior to Jesus' second coming, that half the world's population will have been destroyed?
Absolutely. Even when you get to Revelation 9, a third, you know, even a third. And if that occurred now, you're talking over 2 billion people in less than 3.5 years. So why, you know, when people say, why do you speak on the net, you know, on these dark subjects? Well, God has given strategic preemptive snapshots of the future that gives us the intelligence that before it occurs, because we're dealing with, listen, as you've said, unprecedented, unequaled in human history. This is beyond the Nazis. This is beyond the ziggurats of the past. This is beyond the flood time. This is now the apex of the dark side manifesting. Both on the one side of the seductive deception that will, you know, look like the masquerade of peace, divine light, all this stuff, which I keep telling New Agers, no matter how many spirits, guides, materials, channels you listen to, you know, crystals you got charged, realize this factor. Come down to this point. It hasn't led you to God. I have never met a New Ager to this day that is able to say, hey, I know God on a personal basis. That's the difference between finite fallen spirits, seductive ones, guiding you. They're real, and real experiences will occur, but they will guide you further and further and further away from the clear message and the open door at this point in history that God is saying, I love you. And I have made a, well, call it a doorway, Christ, the door. I have made a way that takes care of all the barriers, sin, all the barriers, Satan's ownership, everything, that you can come home, that you can come back into relationship. I love looking at the attributes of God, immeasurable, infinity, sometimes incomprehensible. God is so big, He is so God is so vast. I've told theology students, if you take a backpack and you were to travel into the woods of God, per se, you'll never come out. We're dealing with infinite presence, but in God's revelation, He is the most personal and relational being. Here's what I know for sure, Steve. I know more than anything else, more than any subject I know. God loves us, knows us, and wants us, and is fighting for us. If only we would stop and listen to the Spirit of God instead of finite fallen spirits.
Amen. And Russ, that's the thing too. The thing is that we're talking about, in one respect. We're talking about myths, legends, we're talking about the creatures, but we're also talking about the invisible realm. But how important, and we can get go right into there right now, in about 4 minutes we'll break for the station ID so Steve Melching can switch over and stuff. But the point is that, you know, the idea that Jesus would give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and nothing will by any means hurt us, yet that has to be the number one cloaking device of the devil to keep that from coming or becoming a reality to the Christian believer. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. You know, and I've been a pastor. We've done seminars. We've preached on this and so forth. I interact with a lot of believers from around the world that write about it, you know, to me about the questions. I'm saying that maybe 10-20% of believers have heard of and maybe know what the authority that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 10. When he arrived, it is like hell shook and the demons knew. One thing I know for sure, in all the deliverance exorcism cases, all the demons know. No matter how violent they become, whatever else, they all know who the real Christ is. They know he's Emmanuel. They know he's God in human flesh. He's the Savior. There's no question. They don't fear Quetzalcoatl. They don't worry about Muhammad, Buddha, Maitreya, whatever. None of that matters to them. The only one they mock, hate, and violently want to come against is Christ. Even the concept of Antichrist. It's not the anti-Quetzalcoatl coming or the anti-Buddha coming. It's the Antichrist. And so when we come down to our side of the fence, we've not been left defenseless. And as big as these events, even the rise of Antichrist, even what I would say right now in the midst of the church is in 2,000 years, we are at a level of spiritual manifestation from the dark side as never in 2,000 years. And it will not get better. It will only get worse, as biblical revelation says. So it all begins with knowing the living Christ, being set free from the sin code, its power over us, cleansed, literally freed from Satan's domain and brought into the basileia, the kingdom of God, Colossians chapter 1. And we have been given, I mean, in Christ, Steve, everything has been given. It's all in him. And part of discipleship is becoming aware of what we have or aware of what we need to yield to. We're supposed to be clothed with power from on high. Now, Satanists understand power, power demons, the counterfeit, their understanding. We need to realize that the power is to become this incredible barrage of missionary force worldwide to go to every human being there is and to engage and embrace them and bring to them this message of God that is unequaled. Second thing, in that context, though, if there was no devil, no demons, then there's no... What is the obstacle? The obstacle, you know, God doesn't say that, you know, literally humanity is our enemy. We read in 1 Peter that, you know, that our enemy, this fallen cherub again, is prowling around seeking, he's active, whom he may devour. So the authority Jesus says in Luke 10, I have given you, perfect tense in the Greek, meaning at the moment of salvation to this abiding moment right now, there's this, we have been given an authority. And Jesus said, here's what it's for, to trample. The picture of the Middle Eastern man, you know, stomping on a scorpion and crushing it. That's the picture. The authority of Christ, and we've seen it in exorcism and deliverances over and over again. That's why demons sometimes will go out. You're talking about ancient, powerful beings that have been around for millennia. They go out screaming. They go out sometimes hollering, cussing, angry, mad, fearful, screeching. Not because they're some kind of weird beings, but because the authority is so immense. It is divine, infinite authority, given to us as believers because of it. It's needed on the one hand.
Right. Hey, Russ, hold that thought. Sure. We've got to take a break. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the second hour after station identification.